me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Mark Anderson. He is hedge fund managing partner at MBH Capital Management, working to help people find financial and time freedom. We had an awesome conversation. It started out with, of course, two truths and a lie. Got into talking about how to help working class people find financial success, more importantly, sustainable, actual lasting financial success, and not get taken advantage of or scammed by a lot of bad actors out there. How it is, in fact, possible to meet the market, just like it's possible to get a six-pack in terms of your abs. Not everybody's going to be able to do it, but there's certainly plenty of people who are able to do it. What it takes to actually get there, what it takes to actually stay there. Close with a great difference-making tip that can help anybody get a little farther ahead financially. I know you're going to love it. Let's go.
Mark, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
So my two truths and a lie would be I'm traveled to five continents this year. I ran over 20 miles during an ultramarathon on a broken ankle. And then I've done over 1,000 hours of volunteering in Tony Robbins events this year.
Five continents, 20 miles on a broken ankle, and 1,000 hours with Tony Robbins?
Yeah.
Well, 1,000 hours with Tony Robbins sounds very, very Tony Robbins-y. And also, if you're going to do something like that, running 20 miles on a broken ankle seems reasonable. I don't think you've been to five continents yet, Mark.
Yeah, you're right. I've only been to four.
All right. So tell me about the Tony Robbins 1,000 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I just kind of got into it. I liked it. I've been doing some like volunteering, captaining, crewing, and coaching along with it. And it's a fun side hobby. So I think a lot of people can have kind of like misconstrued, oh, do what you love, have a passion. It's like, nothing's wrong with just making a lot of money at your job and having that fuel what you actually want to do. And I also think when you like help people, not from being a coach or a perspective that you're learning new skills, it just resonates a little differently, like almost like your parents are helping you or something. So I kind of like to be a beacon for that.
I think that's super cool. How many events roughly across have you done? 1,000 hours, a lot. So
yeah, well, one event can be about a week, and a typical day is probably like 16 to 18 hours. So you can eat up the the hours pretty quick in regards to that. But I think this year I've done, or like will have done, probably like 17 events or something.
Incredible. Yeah. Very cool. And so tell me about the broken ankle and 20 miles.
Yeah, I was pretty into running during 2020 when everything got shut down, so we couldn't. That was the form of exercise. And then one of my buddies decided to run 100-mile ultra with like 25,000 feet of vertical gain in the middle of nowhere in Idaho. And he's like, hey, you're like my only friend that's in good enough shape to pace me. Will you do it? You know, he framed it as a question, but it was more of a response that I was doing it. And basically I was like trying to take an Instagram story of him within the first like half hour of running. And then while I was doing that, I rolled my ankle pretty bad in the dark in the middle of the night, and it was either get taken out by a helicopter or just run it. So I wasn't going to do that.
So you just kept going, knowing that if I stop, it's over.
Yeah. I mean, you got a bunch of bones in your ankle, so it just kind of swells up and it'll like keep them together. So it's a little more dramatic than it sounds. It wasn't that bad. It honestly kind of felt better as of moving, but it was an interesting, 15 hours of running for sure.
Oof, 15 hours of running. Well, I think that's awesome. You read or you listen to, I've listened to Dave Goggins' books on audio, and it's a different experience than just reading them. But I've always been curious to talk to somebody who's actually done a similar kind of event. So have you gotten the itch to do it also?
No, I think there's a certain time in guys' lives where David Goggins' message really resonates with you. And I kind of jumped full into that, similar to the Tony Robbins thing now. Yeah. And I was probably a little overboard on it, but yeah, it was basically, I was definitely channeling Leonard David Goggins, but one of the guys that ran with us actually had priorly run ultras, and he was like pacing one for his buddy, and David Goggins was like behind him. He's like, oh, I think he's coming. I think he's coming. So yeah, there's normal people that are like granola eating, long haired hippies that run that outside of David Goggins as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think that that's awesome. All right, cool. Well, that tells us a little bit more about you, Mark. So that's awesome. What is top of mind for you right now?
Top of mind for me is kind of just, it's been what's going on in the stock market lately with the yen blowing up. And I just really think there's a lot of interesting messages out there online of financial stuff. And even now there's like people that are scamming. The SEC just basically said that, you know, Instagram influencers are legally allowed to scam people on whatever the hell they want. And then also it's just like, there's even funds that I find very unethical that try to kind of prey on lower net worth people that maybe aren't as advanced. So just kind of keep in mind, anything that's hot or has money around it, there's about half of people that are just there to scam people. So I like to kind of be a voice from that and what's looking at in regards to that. And I think it's difficult for people that aren't doing it full time to notice that type of stuff.
For sure. I am not aware of the SEC ruling or comment or whatever it was. Can you tell me more about that?
Basically, it's like Logan Paul or like random people are like, buy my crypto coin, or like they take like some SPAC public and they're like, buy this. And then they basically dump it and benefit from it. But since they're not licensed financial people, they're not regulated basically. So if, you know, someone came out that was famous and was like, I did this, it's the next big thing, buy it, they could literally be on the other side, just dumping all of it to you for profit. It honestly kind of makes sense because it's like, it's not the government's job to regulate and do that. But that just kind of shows you what people are doing and kind of like the branding and clickbaitingness of thing. Like, I don't know that much, but Logan Paul's kind of example of just like unethical, whatever. It's like he like peddles energy drinks to children and then like pump and dumps cryptos and then sues people who try to call them out on YouTube.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot going on, and we don't necessarily need to spend a lot of time on that. I appreciate the heads up, and I'm going to go dig into that myself. But it just does seem odd that they're going to regulate people who are licensed to do the things that they're licensed for, but not regulate people that are unlicensed who are giving financial advice. That doesn't necessarily seem to line up.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a wild world out there. And like, not to get too much into politics, but it's just like, there's some elite money people that are just really calling shots that aren't elected officials. It's like, I think we can see that a little bit in the Democratic Party, or it's even like, I started YouTube in probably about like a month ago, and I was like, oh, I'm going to read people's financial documents that are conglomerating money for funds and like call them out on YouTube. And within like three videos in 2 weeks, I got three cease and desist letters from lawyers on calling that. And these videos have like a couple hundred views, like nothing. And then I got contacted by another lawyer as an expert witness to like testify for the person that was like doing other stuff. So that just kind of gives you a perspective of like, obviously I took everything down on, I won't mention who they were, but it's like, it's a weird, you know, Davos money thing out there, and people need to be more aware and careful. It's like, what I like to say is, if you can't judge people based on what they're doing, like what they're saying is practically irrelevant. It's like, it's all about how people are behaving.
Well said. I have worked in personal finance for almost 25 years. And the more I think about the work that I like to do and I'm interested in doing, I think of myself as kind of a financial populist. Is I just want to help ordinary working class people to become financially secure. I'm certainly not interested in helping people get rich quick at all. And it sounds like we're sort of cut from the same cloth. And your work, what you're doing, you're helping people to become financially free or find financial success. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, kind of what I would say is, if you're making 100 grand at a job and you have 50 grand in savings, you, regardless of your age, I think that you could be retired in 10 years. like that's, it's actually very simple. Obviously you'd have to have your debt cleared, but there's so many limiting beliefs in a system to like set you up to be held down that it's kind of irrelevant. Like the example I like to give is people are like, oh, 99% of people don't beat the market. And it's like, okay, well, 99% of people also don't have six packs, but you don't go up to someone with a six pack and they're like, how is this possible? You must be cheating. Like, don't you know that, you know, the average American is 32 pounds overweight? Like, this is impossible. But in order to get a six pack, you just have to eat well, sleep well, work out consistently, and like avoid drinking alcohol, basically. So people really need to reframe what that looks like. And kind of what I'm doing is like, I would say that I'm giving away the secrets and selling the implementation, where it's just like, you could do this with yourself. It's all the tricks and it's difficult, so it may not be worth your time. Or like, I could just do it for you for, you know, whatever fee conglomerated legally with it. And again, how people behave, it's like my offer is basically like 10% every 90 days, 100% liquidity. So it's like, you'll know if I'm full of BS or not. You know what I'm saying? Whereas like, that's an action behavior of what's going on, that you have a benchmark in 3 months if this is on track. Whereas most people are just like, in the long run, stocks go up. And it's like, okay, well, if inflation's like 4% higher than expected in 30 years, all of a sudden you have to work for another two decades. So do you want to figure that out in 3 months or in 20 years?
I would rather do it in 3 months.
Exactly. You know?
All right. So some of these lies, for lack of a better term, you can't beat the market. What are some of the other ones that you hear and you point to and you say, that's just not necessarily true?
I mean, another thing that I find really comical is like people try to get excess alpha, like higher returns. Whereas if you use a little bit of leverage responsibly, which can be done in ETFs or like finding a brokerage account that lets you margin treasuries, like Interactive Brokers would let you do that. So it's like you're getting 5% risk-free yield plus you can own stocks. It's also just get tax efficient. So like if you could do a 20% return and pay 20% less taxes, like all of a sudden you did like an amazing stock return of Nvidia or whatever. And you know, the amount of taxes you pay is never go ups or down. So like people should really focus on getting their Roth going and then backdooring into their Roth, because you can do that. Even if you make over 130 grand, you could always backdoor like 10 grand from a self-directed 401k or rollover 401k into your Roth. And then that money is going to compound for all of your life. And also the government is going to come after rich people with 401ks because we don't have enough money for Social Security. So expect not to get Social Security or get taxed more in your 401k in the future. They're not going to come after Roths.
Okay, great. So this 3 month, well, tell us a little bit about what you're actually doing, what the strategy is, if that's the right term. How are you helping people to find retirement or success in 10 years?
Yeah, so I'll kind of try and dumb this down a little more for people, but basically
that would be helpful.
Yeah, I'm trading what's called zero DTE or days to expiration options. So some interesting things about options is the pricing of them is basically finite. So there's a formula that decides the pricing of them. Whereas if you look at Nvidia, they have a $20 billion earnings and then they get bid up between like a 90 multiple and a 20 multiple. So the underlying business of Nvidia is kind of irrelevant to your investment returns, at least in a shorter interim basis, depending on where you buy. Whereas if you were to look at what I do, if I sold $1 million of risk premium, because that's what we're doing, we're selling index risk premium, and I kept $200,000 of that based on how I manage my risk, it's just $200,000. There's no voting up or down of that multiple. It doesn't matter what the market is. And the other example I will give is like, there's what's called volatility. And you can look at the volatility index or the VIX from like the last 20 years, it's around 20 all the time. So when it goes up or below, it eventually gets back to that. Whereas if you were to look at a stock chart, it's, you know, perpetually all over the place. So it's a much shorter term, consistent mean reverting asset. And then the other thing about this is we can kind of define where our risk is, because all of these positions go on at 9:30. Once the market opens, they have a resting order in with the brokers, so they will get out. The computer will get out if they've deemed risk. And then at 4 p.m., we're in cash every single day. So you have that full liquidity, and then that creates a high time velocity of money. an example I like to give. If you've ever been in credit card debt, that's a high time velocity of money. That's compounding daily. So the interest rate that you're being charged is taxed on the new balance every single day, whereas a mortgage is assessed yearly. So just through, it's called like statistical arbitrage, just through the math of that additional compounding, you're making money just through a mathematical formula, more so than some speculation or something that's not going to be consistent and robust over a period of time, like low interest rates.
And so the goal is to be making small gains every day?
And it compounds, yes. So never have a drawdown that has a volatility tax. So 5% drawdown, you need a 5.3% return to get back to even. 50% drawdown, you need 100% return to get back to even. So that ruins the down, that ruins the compounding, but you always get the benefit of the upside compounding from the day, and you limit that downside compounding. So you pay no tax of what that volatility drag is. And I also don't like to say goal. I like to say income is the outcome, because that's why we invest, for income, not for some number. And it doesn't count until it's realized also.
And how did you come upon this strategy? Did you figure it out yourself? Did you read about it and say, that's interesting, I want to learn more?
Yeah. I mean, I was in like the retail trading community, and it was all mostly BS, people trying to sell Discord services or whatever. And I was familiar with what options were. I'd invested a lot in real estate, and I didn't like the liquidity, or that the government made real laws like that didn't make sense. Like if you had a real estate during 2020 or something, you saw that. And then I basically just became obsessed with it. Like I've probably done over a million back tests over the last like 4 years. Probably I'd challenge anyone on earth that's actually done more than me. And then you just start to get patterns. Like the way I would kind of frame it is, it's like if you look at Steph Curry, he's been taking 2,500 shots every couple of days, 500 makes a day for like 40 years, but he's only made 3,000 shots in his NBA career. So like he's taken almost 3,000 shots for every shot he's made in the pros. And it's like, that's how you get good at something and master it. It's like, even though your output is high, no one's seen like the millions of iterations you've done beforehand to get to that level of mastery.
And how is technology, it's improving, it's march forward, impacting what you're doing?
So basically, like what I would say is that the democratization of technology and the price of it has come down to like a factor of prime. So the data and computer automation I'm doing now, the funds currently trading, the markets open, probably runs me $500 a month. A decade ago, it probably would have cost $5 million. Not a month, but a year, so $500,000 a month or something. And basically that's what's made it available. Now the whole AI or whatever that is, I really think that's significantly overhyped and just what's been drummed up by Silicon Valley so VCs can push stuff off of their books at some new multiple. And the example I kind of give of that is in 1960, the microwave came out and everyone was like, we'll never have to cook again. Steaks, grilled cheese sandwiches, everything's better in the microwave. It's the best thing ever. But what actually happened is the microwave was only good for like one very small subset of things, like popcorn or heating up a cold pizza. And then like 50 years later, we got the air fryer, and the air fryer actually makes everything better with itself. So I think that's where basically AI is right now, is that it's just an overhyped chatbot that's rebranded, that's actually been around for a while. It is progressing quick and it's making strides, but in no way do I think it could ever predict financial markets on a large scale, because it's just random. Like AI needs assumptions, technology needs assumptions, and there's so many assumptions that would be impossible to make that they couldn't do it, you know?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So earlier you mentioned, if you're somebody who's making $100,000 a year and has $50,000 in savings, limited debt, I'm assuming sort of consumer debt, people have more than that, then that's great, but that's sort of the avatar of somebody who this would be a good fit for, could be.
Yeah. And the main reason I kind of say that 10-year period, because it's like, if your typical person is allowed to withdraw like 4% of their account, that's kind of the rule to live off of, you would need like some, you know, something ridiculous, like $4 million to live off of like $250,000 a year or something. But if you could make like a 25% return instead of a 7%, and you also paid like a third of the taxes, all of a sudden you can withdraw like 15% of your account a year. You know what I'm saying? Because that compounding additionally helps you on the upside. And all of a sudden, instead of having, you know, $5 million, you only need 1.2. That's something people could achieve. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're getting those returns, where I think a lot of the FIRE message and stuff out there is like, save money, live frugally, don't buy your coffee. And it's like, nah, it's not like that. It's like, if I could give anyone financial advice, it'd be like, if you don't have 50 grand saved up and you're not making $100,000, you should be getting into credit card debt and spending every dollar you have to learn how to make money. You know what I'm saying? And then once you get to that point, you can start worrying about investing and doing whatever. And it's like, if you want to spend $35 a day on caffeine and coffee because you're working all that time to learn something, it's like, go for it, you know? Because there's a lower bound to saving, but there's no ceiling to earning.
Well said. And I think you also mentioned you're giving away secrets and selling the implementation. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's just kind of an Alex Hormozi catchy thing. So I went to like a private equity incubator training scaling workshop that they had. And that's what he said. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty true. Like, this is just like the six pack thing. And psychologically, a lot of people just struggle with executing. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, more businesses have been lost of like people worrying about AI or the next change, like, than anything else. Whereas the fact is, if you could just execute, you would absolutely kill it. Like, there's people that just make pencils and crowns and all the, like, we all like to champion Mark Zuckerberg dropped out of, you know, Harvard, people mortgage their house to be an entrepreneur, where it's like, those are the billionaires. Like, 99% of millionaires are like the exclusive parts distributor for a pipe fitting in Central Texas, or like own a car dealership. So if you're like not trying to hang out with supermodels on a yacht and you just want complete time freedom of your life, it's like, sell pipe fittings and be the exclusive dealer of pipe fittings in that area. You know,
I think that that's really what most people want, is yeah, that time freedom. So I love it. Well, Mark, you've given us a lot of great stuff. We're ready for that difference making tip. What do you have for us today?
Yeah, I would just say kind of the difference making tip is people can get really frustrated. So humans psychologically function well in a 6-to-1 ratio of like praise to criticism. So it's always good to, whenever something bad happens, phrase it in a good sense, like you learn something, and give yourself basically like 6 positive comments or viewpoints in the positive form before you critique something that you're doing or your thoughts are poor about.
Well, I think that that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. Mark, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? And I guess my final question is then, how long does it take? How much headspace are we talking about to actually put this to work?
Yeah, so you can find me on YouTube as Zero Day Mark, LinkedIn, I'm available, Mark Anderson, or if you just search MBH Capital Management on the internet or LinkedIn, I will pop up. So those are all the best ways to find it. You can also email me at markanderson@mbhcapitalmanagement.com. And then, yeah.
What was the YouTube handle?
Zero Day Mark, Zero Day Options. Yeah, Zero Day Mark.
Zero Day Mark. Great. And if somebody was interested in this, I'm sure that people will be, how much of an investment of time is it to learn it? And then once it's set to keep it going?
I mean, it can all be automated, and like, I'm traveling the world, I'm doing Tony Robbins events and doing it. But the main thing is like, what I like to say is, if someone comes to me and they're like, oh, I've been a manager for 20 years, or I've been trading options for 20 years, and it's like, and you're not showing a lot of success, that just basically tells me that you're still learning the same lesson for like the 50th time. So it all depends on your ability to learn. There's people that are really sharp. And even on my YouTube, I'm teaching this one guy from the middle of nowhere in Tennessee who I used to work with how to trade options. And he's got a kid and a job, and he's dedicated 5 hours a week to it. So I think in 90 days with 5 hours a week, you could do it if you could get out of your own way. So that's the main thing. And then if not, like, I could basically do it for you if you can check your ego, but I know a lot of people have trouble with that. So I'd encourage everyone to try as well and see, it's not as easy as it seems.
Excellent. Yeah. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Mark your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to mbhcapitalmanagement.com, find him on LinkedIn under Mark Anderson, and then find him on YouTube. under 0 day mark. I'll link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Mark.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.